Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We are going to be talking about a concept that I really like, and I've been teaching in my private practice for over 30 years. It's a concept that's called radical honesty, and it's been around in other sources. There's a really cool book written by Brad Blanton, who wrote a book called Radical Honesty, How to Transform Your Life by Telling the Truth. And I recommend it. It's a cool book to read. He's very human in that book, which is kind of nice. But for a very long time in my private practice, I have talked to people about the value of being honest. And let's get really straight up here. It's about learning how not to lie, because lying ruins relationships, it ruins reliability, it ruins trust, and everybody does it. In fact, we are pretty much trained to lie from the time we are very young. And so in this first part of the show, I want to talk about what lying is and why we lie. And then we're going to go on to exactly what is radical honesty and how do you begin to recognize it in yourself, how do you look for it in others? And then by the end of the show, I want to give you some pointers on how to go about becoming a more radically honest person. And I'll tell you that no one is perfect about it. I totally understand the concept, and I would tell you that I am an extremely honest person. I very seldom ever tell a lie, but we're human, and people make mistakes, or they don't stop to think, or they just blurt stuff out, and they are lying. So I'm going to teach what to do when you find yourself doing that. All right, so let's talk about the idea of lying first. Why do we lie? What are we doing? We're taught from a very young age to be polite, to be diplomatic, to not hurt someone's feelings, to be careful being too blatantly open with our words. And so from a very subtle perspective, we are taught not to tell the truth. Now, our moms never told us to lie, right? Our parents never told us to lie. But when they're saying things like, oh, be polite, don't tell her that, that's not nice, they're basically saying, measure your words and stop and think about your consequences. Now, is this a good thing? Absolutely. There are times that we should practice silence, and that's a really important step in becoming a really open person, is you need to know when to practice silence. So let's say your friend walks up to you and has an absolutely hideous outfit on. Do you need to blurt out that you think it's a hideous outfit because you're being radically honest? No. Be quiet. You don't need to purposely hurt someone's feelings when it is unnecessary. Now, let's say your friend asked for your opinion. Is this a hideous outfit? I'm about to go on TV, and I don't want to look bad. Then they're asking for your honest opinion, and you would need to give that. Now, do you have to be cruel and mean when you give your honest opinion? No. And I'm going to teach you the different levels of being honest that will help you know how much to say. So when people lie, they are trying to be polite. They're trying to be diplomatic. And they often create big problems and suffering when this happens, because later when somebody finds out that you didn't tell them the truth, then they feel betrayed. So we're trying to balance being polite and not hurting someone's feelings with telling the truth and being an honest person. And people get stuck in that. So in prior shows, I've talked about letting go, and we've talked about lying. But we're going to take it to an even deeper level this time. So one of the things is, let's look at the three types of lies. You can lie by commission, which is actually tell something you know to be untrue. That's lying by commission. You can lie by omission, which is purposely leaving something out so that you don't tell the whole truth. You might tell a little bit of it, but you purposely leave out very important facts. It means you have lied by omission. And you can lie by assent. That is allowing somebody to believe something is true when you could clarify the situation and they would know that it is not true. So lying by assent is allowing an untruth to float around and not fix it when it's important. So those are the three types of lies, and that's a really good first step in learning whether you're being radically honest. The people who are extremely honest almost never or have a very hard time lying by commission because they are actually saying something they know to be untrue. But many people think that's the only type of lie. If you leave something out, people say, well, I just didn't tell you, or I just didn't say anything, or I didn't mention that part of the story. And they know that they're lying by leaving something out. It is a more subtle form of lying, but it's still not telling the absolute truth. And in the concept of radical honesty, we tell the absolute truth. Okay? Lying by assent, allowing someone to believe something that isn't true, is difficult. Sometimes you need to practice silence, and sometimes you need to speak up. One of the things that's really important is to say, is it safe? If I allow someone to believe something that's untrue, could that be unsafe? Could people get harmed? Could someone die? Could it, you know, cost life and limb and health? And so lying by assent needs to be put through that judgment, and you need to speak up if those things are happening, for sure. But then the subtle things of lying by assent can just create mistrust and distrust in those around us. So lying is exhausting, and that's the thing that we really need to look at. It takes a ton of energy. You have to create a lie. You have to tell a lie. You've got to remember what you said. And you have to create this all in your brain. And at the same time that you're creating a lie, you have to jump ahead and try to make a judgment of what the people around you want or need or will think, which is why you think you're telling the lie. I don't want to hurt their feelings, or I don't want to look bad. I don't want to make them think that something won't work. You know, you're fooling yourself into thinking it's for them. But who we really lie for is not for others. We lie for ourselves. I'm going to pause here for a second because I really want you to grasp that concept. When we tell a lie, we are lying for our own egos. We are lying so that we feel bigger, better, smarter, prettier, nicer, more successful, like somebody that they would want to be with or that they would want to like. So why is that so important to us as human beings? Why do we need to be liked? Why do we need people to respect us or want to be with us? Enough so that we're willing to bend the truth, change the truth, totally, absolutely lie, so that what we think they want and need to hear becomes the truth, and they will like us better. That is a self-esteem issue. It's a self-confidence issue. The more self-confident, the more you are willing to love yourself, even through mess-ups and mistakes and imperfections, which we all have. It's the human condition. When we are willing to love ourselves unconditionally, then there's less need for us to lie. We can say things like, wow, I didn't know that. Or, oh, I assumed it was this way, and it turned out it wasn't. I made a huge mistake. I'm going to teach you what to do when you make a mistake. But when our self-esteem is more intact, it is easier for us to say, wow, that wasn't the truth. I didn't know that. It's easier for us to feel vulnerable. So I want you to recognize that guessing what other people want is exhausting. Guessing what you think you should say or shouldn't say is exhausting. And absolutely telling a straight-up lie and then trying to remember it is exhausting. Lies are stored in a different place in your brain than the truth. Something that's the truth is stored with smell and taste and sight and memory and sound and feelings like what the weather was. All that stuff gets stored together, which helps create a very vivid memory of what the truth is. Lies are formulated like stories and are stored in a different part in our brain. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what we're hiding when we lie.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty. You are listening to the beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis, award-winning flute player who's played all over the world and has six CDs, all of which are different and are extremely beautiful. So thank you, Randy McGinnis, for allowing us to play your music on this show. You can go to randymcginnis.com and check out who he is and listen to all his CDs. All right, we are talking about radical honesty, and I want to talk a little bit about what's going on when we lie. We talked about lying being exhausting, and we're pretending. We're trying to pretend that we feel differently than we really do. And why do we do that? To be polite, to be diplomatic, but really it's to protect our own egos. We want to give an impression of ourselves as to who we really are and how we want people to view us. So we tend to highlight the good stuff and diminish the bad stuff and shove down what we really don't want people to know. And we like to paint a picture. We like to put a mask out of who we are so that we feel that people are going to like us. But who else are we hiding from when we lie? And this is a really important part of this concept. Who are we hiding from? And the answer is we're hiding from ourselves. We don't want to look deeper at what's going on. And I want to give you an example of that. Often people lie because they are angry. They say things and do things because they are angry and they don't like what they're feeling. But I always say that anger is a call to consciousness. If we stop and take a look underneath our anger, then we can say, what am I really feeling? And I'm not saying that anger is not a righteous emotion. It is. But it is a call to consciousness. And if you are a more developed person, you will stop and look underneath your anger and say, what is it that I'm afraid of? And a lot of people don't like the F word, fear. They just feel horrible about the F word. It makes them feel like they're weak. And I see that especially in men. And so you have to get used to saying, how does that make me uncomfortable? What do I worry about? And those are the things you are afraid of. So we tend to lie so that we don't have to face what we're really afraid of. And let me give an example of that. Let's say that somebody dies and we are angry. But all of a sudden we feel like if we express anger because somebody died, then we look like a schmuck. I don't know a better way to say it. We look terrible, like we're not very compassionate, or we're just thinking about ourselves. You know, it's all about me that somebody died. And we get embarrassed. So we listen to the platitudes of other people, and we try to nod our head and agree and act like we're not angry. And I can speak to this from a personal level. When my husband Rich died 4 years ago in a few days, I knew he was very ill. He'd been ill for 10 years. He'd been severely ill for 4. And the last one was horrendous. He had a terminal brain disease called behavioral variant frontal temporal degeneration. And it took all control of all his emotions. So he was extremely ill for quite a while. But when he died, I got really upset and angry that people didn't want to say that out loud. People would say, he passed away, he passed over, he's no longer with us. And I wanted to scream, he died, he's dead, because that felt like the absolute truth to me. And all the little platitudes made me mad. And of course, I kept my mask on and I smiled, I nodded, I said, yes, yes. People would say, God needed him more there than here. And I wanted to scream, and I'd just look at them. And they'd say all the time, I'm so sorry for your loss. And sometimes I'd want to scream, he died. He left. For me, I had to stop and say, why am I mad? Why am I angry? Am I angry at the people that are using all the little platitudes and trying to be polite? Sorta, I was. But I was also just mad at the whole situation. And was I angry at him for dying? No. I thought he was extremely brave and conscientious and self-sacrificing to put his family and everything else before his need to just stay. He was also in incredible pain and was ready to go, but I wasn't really mad at him, but I was mad at the situation that took him from me, took him from our family. And that made me angry. So when I really stopped and looked beneath that, I was mad at feeling abandoned and left and how I wanted things to be different. So was it a lie that I would nod and keep the mask on and let people say things that I didn't agree with? Was I just being polite? Was I practicing silence? Yes, all of those things. But the feelings were deep and difficult, and it was hard to just blurt them out. I did need to sit with myself and say, what am I really feeling? What is underneath the anger? And it was the fear of being alone, the fear of things being different, the fear of all of it. I mean, it's so totally complicated. But let's go back to the idea that we tend to lie a lot around death. People don't want to acknowledge if they're ill. They don't. Doctors don't want to tell you that you might die. Have you ever noticed on a TV show that the main character comes out, it's the doctor, and he looks at the person and they crumble and say, oh, I don't know. And the doctor says, I'm sorry. But he doesn't want to say he died. Unless you're watching House, and then he is like super honest and just blurts it out, because I think he's got Asperger's, but that's beside the point. But he's blatantly honest and says exactly what he feels. And people get uncomfortable with that. So around death, we tend to soften and we tend to lie and we think we're being nice and polite. If you are radically honest, you might say, I'm so sorry he died. We are afraid of that word and we lie all around it. So we're looking at the idea that lying is supposed to be a protection for others from our true feelings, but it is mostly a protection for us for our true feelings. And it's a way that we think that we can build ourselves up so that we won't be left and abandoned and people won't see us in a light that we don't want them to see. So let's go back to the other part about lying is something that we really dislike in others. And almost everybody will tell you, oh, I hate liars, or I really just want people to be honest with me, or why can't people be honest in a relationship? Why can't they? People want that from others, but you're not going to get that from others, especially if you don't do that yourself. People are blown away when you're totally honest. Let me give you an example. I teach people how to date all the time. So even internet dating can be safe if you follow very specific rules. But let's say you go on a first date with somebody and you're thinking this might be good, and so-and-so said it was a friend, or they've seemed really interesting as we've been chatting online. Okay, so you go out with them and you're just not into it. There's no chemistry there. You're not connecting with the person. You're thinking, when can this coffee end? I need to go. This isn't good. So I talk to people about, what if you're totally honest with that person and they start squirming? They don't want to be totally honest. They don't want to say, hey, this isn't working for me. I think I should just go. They don't want to, because they don't want to hurt the other person's feelings. They don't want to look like a bad person for not wanting to be with that person. And they don't want to say, this isn't working. So I actually have them practice that in my office. And I say, look, you know this isn't someone you want another date with. It's not working. Tell me a way that you can be honest with them without being cruel. They are squirming. Some of you out there are squirming right now going, no, I'd rather say call me and then block their number or never pick up the phone again, or make a bunch of stupid excuses that sound like stupid excuses. No. It is so much less energy to just be honest, but you have to give yourself permission to do that. And you have to get by those underlying feelings that if I'm telling the truth, what are they going to think of me? Now, what's interesting is people in my office will say stuff like, oh, you know, if I went out with somebody and it wasn't right and they weren't into me, I'd rather they were just honest with me. Yet they won't give that themselves. So if you can't give it, how do you expect to take it when somebody looks at you and says, you know, I really appreciate you meeting me for coffee today. I love the opportunity to get to know new people, but I'm just really feeling like this isn't a match and we're not really working and I wish you well and I'm going to go now. They are squirming. They can't stand the idea of that kind of honesty. But wouldn't you rather be saved the feeling of the lie, call me later, maybe we'll do lunch again, whatever. And it's a lie. It makes you not trust the world when you feel that that's happening. So the bottom line here is that telling the truth can be hard. It can be challenging. It can be something that you have to dig deep and be brave to do when you're telling the truth. And the flip side of that is also true. When someone tells you their truth, even when it's a hard truth for you to hear, you have to be appreciative of their honesty. And you have to say, wow, that's hard for me to hear, but I'm so glad you told me that. Think of how difficult that is, because we feel a diminishment in who we are when we feel that somebody has told us that we're not measuring up in some way. We didn't get the job, or the relationship didn't happen, or the outfit we have on is atrocious and we shouldn't go on TV with it. Whatever the truth is, when somebody tells it to us, we might be sad. And then what do you do with those feelings? So you have to remember that radical honesty is a thing to hold and use as a window into your own self-esteem and your own self-confidence and your own ego. What do I need from others to feel good enough about myself that I can stand up tall and be true about who I am and what I'm doing? Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about radical honesty.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients.
Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and we are talking about the concept of radical honesty. I want to read a quote to you from Brad Blanton's Radical Honesty book. And he narrates his own book on Audible, too, which he does a good job with that. So it's Brad Blanton, Radical Honesty, How to Transform Your Life by Telling the Truth. And here's a quote from it. For my own good, I want to hang out with people who want to find out what it would be like to live in such a way as to leave no unspoken words, no unfinished business. I want to be with people who are hungry for the truth, who want to spend time learning and sharing what they have learned rather than defending their images or reputations. I think that's beautiful, and it's what most of us say we are looking for. But we don't appreciate it necessarily when people give it to us because we feel threatened. And we don't give it to others because we're not exactly sure how to do it or what would happen if we did. So the concept of radical honesty is about trying to just be who you are without filtering, but not just blurting in a really nasty way and being mean. So we need to find the balance of what we feel and how to express it. So why be honest? I mean, if it can lead to people being mad at you or not liking what you say, why be honest? The concept of honesty builds relationships. The best marriages I see are when people sit down and tell each other the truth about how they feel, what they're thinking, what's going on. Let me give you a little tiny example. You come back from shopping and your spouse says, how much did you spend? And you say, well, not very much. I only spent $30. Well, it was 50 or 60, but you don't want to say that. So you soften it and say 30 because you think that might make the person less angry. So you lie. And then later the spouse is looking at the receipt and says, hey, it says $56.97. You said you spent $30. Oh, I must have forgotten. Oh, I forgot about that one other thing. Oh, and you're lying again. When you lie, you've got to dig the hole deeper to try and cover up what you're doing. What would happen if your spouse said, how much did you spend? And you said, I spent $56.77. Exactly. Oh, well, what did you buy? I bought this, this, and this. Why? You know, it was pretty frivolous, and I didn't really need it, but I was attracted to it and wanted it, and I liked it, and I thought, damn, I deserve this, and so I'm going to buy it. And they go, oh, what if that were the absolute truth? You don't have to remember later what your lie was because you're telling the absolute truth, even if there's portions of that truth that make you look, I don't know, not as good as you might have looked. So the other concept is, what if you're absolutely true with time? When somebody says, When will you be here? And you say in a few minutes. And actually, you just left the house, and you're not going to be there for 20. And you're hoping they don't notice. You hopefully it gets blown over. You hope that you can say something later, like, oh, I got stuck behind the train. You're lying. What if you said, I'm running late. I just left the house. I won't be there for 20 minutes. I apologize that I'm not running on time. Done. But people don't do that. They tend to change a story into what they think will make them look better or look less of something or more of something, and they think they're protecting the situation or the other people's feelings. I'll tell you right now, it's a lot less energy to tell the absolute truth. And when you start doing this more and more, you feel better about it. And the truth is what wants to come out of your mouth. Because when we are truthful, we build trust from others. Whether this is a job or a relationship, it doesn't matter. When you are honest, you build a relationship because people know that they can rely on your word. So that building trust is a process. It isn't something that's just a one-time thing. When you get known as somebody who tells the truth, people tend to respect you and trust you. And what you'll find over time is that that truth actually makes you look better than if you had told lies about how you feel and what you're doing. So let's look at the idea of truth for a minute. Truth comes in kind of layers too. Sometimes when you tell the truth, you tell just the facts of a situation. Let's go back to the how much you spent example. The facts would be, I spent $73.20. That's a fact, right? Okay, underneath that fact, another layer of truth would be your feelings about that. So let's say your feelings about how much money you spent were, I stayed within my allowance. I feel really good about that. I feel that I deserve to spend that money. And I feel a little bit silly because I bought a couple things I really don't need. That would be honesty about your feelings. Okay? So then the next level that we're talking about is vulnerability. Putting down that mask of who we pretend to be or who we wish people would see us as and being vulnerable to the whole shebang. So we're honest with the facts, that first level. We're honest with our feelings about the facts. And then we put down the mask and we are vulnerable. We might say in a vulnerable statement, look, I work really hard, and sometimes I just want to be frivolous. I want to be an idiot. I want to buy something I really don't need because it makes me feel like all the slave effort I put into my job is worthwhile. Vulnerable, right? Now, what if we were that vulnerable with ourselves from the get-go? What if we didn't lie to ourselves? We're out shopping, and we said, you know, I feel like doing some retail therapy and buying something I don't need because I'm kind of sad. I've been a little bit depressed. I've been anxious. I've had a hard time at work, and I really don't want to be there. And I want to justify what my salary is so that I can go shopping and buy something I really don't need. Boy, it's kind of radical honesty, isn't it? And who are you being radically honest with? Yourself. Can you be honest with others, such as your partner, your spouse, your coworker, your boss, your kids? Can you be radically honest with them if you hadn't been radically honest with yourself yet? It's difficult. It's very hard to tell yourself one thing and tell other people something else because you're not being honest across the board with everybody. So when we tell the truth, the secret is you have to start with yourself. What are the facts? How do you feel? And what is the mask that you need to put away? How can you set aside needing to boost your own ego or have people see you in a light that you would like them to see you, not how you fear that you really are? Now catch that. Not that you fear how you really are. What gets in the way most of us being radically honest is when we are afraid that our vulnerabilities are going to show and we are not going to be liked or loved for those vulnerabilities. And if you don't like or love me, you are going to leave me and abandon me, and you won't want me anymore. So then I start scrambling and backing up, and I try to alter what the facts are and alter what the truth is so that I'm presenting myself in a better light, so that I can feel less afraid, and so that I don't have to worry about you leaving me. It's complicated, isn't it? But it's really not. It sounds like a big thing to wade through. But when you get good at being vulnerable and honest with yourself, then you begin to know when something comes out of your mouth that is not your truth. Now, there's a podcast that I did called Standing in Your Truth. It's one of the most popular ones I've done. Go back and listen to that, because I give you some very clear skills on how to stand in your truth. But one of the real bases of standing in your truth is knowing what your truth is. The big basis in practicing radical honesty is you've got to know how you feel, what you believe, and you have to know what the facts are. When you don't know what the facts are and you are radically honest, you say that. You say, you know what? I don't know what the facts are, because I wasn't there, or I wasn't part of that team, or I'm guessing because I only watch the news and they tell me what the facts are, and so I assume that's all right. But what if we aren't there? We can say that. In our radical honesty, we can say, I wasn't there. I'm only telling you what I've been told, and I have no idea if it's the absolute truth or not, but this is what I know from that. There's radical honesty. When you spout it off like it's the truth because you heard it, then you are possibly perpetuating a lie, and you've contributed your energy to that. So stopping and saying, what do I really know, and what is the truth, and how do I present that in such a way so that I am being honest with who I am? So the purpose here is to stop and say, what do I feel inside? What is the truth first for me? Truth that remains within the facts. Is it okay for me to spout this out, or is it better for me to practice silence? And how do I state it with absolute honesty? How do I state it without fudging it around so that I feel better about myself, or I fool myself into thinking that I'm making someone else feel good? So we're going to go to break in a minute. But when we come back, I want to give you some steps on how to begin to practice radical honesty and start to recognize that it's kind of fun. And it really reduces your stress, and it's far less exhausting to be extremely honest than it is to lie. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a minute.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Redding. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, Dr. Patricia Bay. And we're talking about radical honesty. I want to tell you a little fable, because this is important when it comes to the idea of lying. I want to tell you the fable about the seven blind men and the elephant. Okay? There are seven blind men, and they are standing by an elephant, and they are asked, what do you know about an elephant? What does an elephant look like? So the blind men are all feeling the elephant, because that's how we see when we are blind. And they start to tell their truth. One blind man says, oh, it's like a big wall. An elephant's like a wall. And another one says, no, it's like a small, skinny snake. It fits in my hands and it's a snake. Another one says, no, an elephant is like a tree trunk. You can wrap your arms around it. It's a tree trunk. And another one says, no, it's like a big hose. It's long and thick, and it's a big hose. And another one says, it's thin and it flaps. It flaps like a flag in the breeze. It's like this. So each blind man goes on to describe what they believe is the truth about what an elephant looks like. Now, here's the really important part. Each blind man is telling the truth about what an elephant looks like. It is the truth of what the elephant looks like to them. But some sighted person standing off and listening to this might say, that one's lying. An elephant doesn't seem like a wall. Well, from that blind man perspective, when he's feeling the side of an elephant, it feels like a big wall. He's telling his truth. What we need to know as people, and what this fable represents to us, is we have to recognize that sometimes the truth that we have is only a portion of the truth that's out there in the real world. That is hugely enlightening, because as people, we tend to think that the portion that we know is the absolute 100% be-all everything truth. We see this happening in politics now. We see it happening with friends and in relationships. You assume what you think the truth is based on a piece of the knowledge that you have, and you extrapolate from that, and you project out that you're right, and you get into your stance of the absolute, I've got all the information here, and you get rigid, and you're actually only seeing a piece of a puzzle, a piece of the elephant. When we remember that, and know that there might be more truth out there than what we are seeing or what we're being told, then we can calm down, we can relax a little bit inside our head, and we can say, I might not have all the truth. So let's go to the idea of gossip. When somebody says, oh, did you hear this about so-and-so? We might say, oh, so-and-so is a bad person for doing that. But we might have only a piece of the puzzle. When we acknowledge that the gossip we're hearing may not be the truth, or maybe only a piece of the truth, then we tend to curb our judgment, and we tend to calm down and relax a little bit, and we might even say something to the effect of, well, I'm sorry to hear that about so-and-so. I hope that's not the whole truth. I hope there's far more to that story than what I just heard. And because I may not have all the facts and know exactly what's happening, I'm not going to pass judgment on that. And one of the ways I'm going to show that I'm not passing judgment on that is I am not going to repeat it like it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So it's important for us to stop and calm down a little bit and say, how much of this do I know? And that's being vulnerable and honest with ourselves. And that's one of the first steps in practicing radical honesty. Know that we are vulnerable to partial truths and that there may be far more to the elephant than just what this one blind person is telling me. Remembering that story often helps me a lot, that fable. Okay, so when we're learning to practice radical honesty, what do? We stop and we ask ourselves, what is our truth? What's it based on? Should I practice silence? Is repeating this what I believe to be true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Do I need to do this? That's the first thing. Then the other way to begin to be radically honest is to be extremely honest with all the little things. Like, for example, if I'm driving home and somebody's on the phone with me and they say, well, where are you? I might say, I'm passing the grocery store right now. I'm passing the Holiday Market right now. They know exactly where I am, and I'm being radically honest. Instead of me saying something like, well, I'm almost there, I'm saying the absolute truth. When somebody says, do you want to go? I might stop and think, not really. I don't want to do that. I might say, I'm willing to go because it sounds like it's important to you, but I'll be digging deep because that's not the type of thing I like to do. So I might be radically honest that way. I don't usually say yes when I mean no. I don't usually say no when I mean yes. And again, I'm human. I am not perfect. But I strive to do this, especially with all the little things, because we don't have to remember our lie, and we actually feel good when we do that. So the next time somebody asks you what something costs, be exact with your words. The next time you're telling someone what time you're going to show up, don't fudge around. Say, I will be there according to the GPS in 12 minutes. All right? Or I'm about 10 minutes out, give or take a couple minutes. There's your radical honesty. Now, here's the hard part. When you have made a mistake, when you've told a lie, when you've repeated something you should not have done, when you recognize later that you made a mistake, or you assumed incorrectly, what do you do? The radically honest person will want to right that wrong. And one of the ways to do that is to go back to where that event occurred, and you can say, hey, I need to make something right. I said something that later I found out to be untrue. Or I feel really badly that I repeated something that I should not have said. I gossiped, and I feel badly about that, and I want to tell you, I apologize to you because I did something that I feel diminished who I was, and I don't want to do that. There's the radical honesty. You own it when you make a mistake. And that's one of the hardest concepts for people in being honest. How do we own it when we mess up? How do we own it when we tell a lie? How do we stop right then and there and say, wait, that's not the truth. I'm telling you I want to go, and I really don't want to go. I will dread going to that thing, whatever that thing is, for weeks if I tell you I'm going to go. And I don't want to. And I'm sorry. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I really don't want to go. How can you be that straight up with people and feel good about it? You have to put it out with your truth without a whole lot of undeserved anger. Either anger at yourself or anger at them. And remember that that anger is an insight into your own soul. What am I really feeling when I'm angry? What am I afraid of? Why would I not want to tell you whether I want to go to that party or not, that barbecue or not, that thing? Why wouldn't I say, no, it's just not my thing. I don't want to go. Because I'm afraid of hurting your feelings. I'm afraid you won't like me. Those are the things that we tend to do a big dance around. And that whole big dance takes a ton of energy. So let's go back to that example. Let's say somebody asks you to go to a barbecue at a friend's house. And you're going, oh, I don't want to go to that. But you go, okay. And you say yes. And then for the 2 weeks before you're going to go, you're thinking, oh, I don't want to do this. How can I get out of it? And then the Friday before you're supposed to go tomorrow, you start, I think I'm getting sick. You call the friend and you say, I don't think I can go tomorrow. I'm really not feeling well. Well, you lied in the beginning. that you wanted to go. Now you're lying that you are making up some excuse of why you can't go. And don't be surprised if the other person is thinking, oh, I knew that he or she would bail on me because they always tell me they'll do something when they don't mean it and then they back out at the last minute and they don't go. You'll have a reputation for that if you do that. So let's back up. The person asks you to go to the barbecue in a couple of weeks and you say, you know, I really appreciate you asking me. That's nice that you would want me to go with you, but that's not the type of thing I like to go to. And if I tell you yes, I'll go, I will dread it for 2 weeks. And then I'd have to call you the day before and pretend like I'm sick, and I don't want to do that either because I'd be lying upon lying, and that really makes me feel badly about myself, and I don't want to do that to myself, and I don't want to do that to you. So I'm going to tell you right here, right now, I don't want to go to that with you. Thank you for asking me, though. Radical honesty and a whole lot less energy. Now, let's say the person starts pushing on you. Oh, come on, you'll like it. Oh, please, and they start begging. You just say, no, I'm being honest with you. Sometimes you have to say no or say yes or tell your truth 3 times before somebody really hears you. Well, that's the story about standing in your truth. So why be radically honest? You're trying to be true to yourself and true to who you are. You are trying to support the reality of you, not the mask that is you. Not the person you're hoping the world sees, because if they really saw who you really are, they wouldn't like you. So let's drop that, because it's garbage. It's not what we really need to do and takes a ton of energy. So we've been talking about radical honesty. I want you to start with little things. Just, you know, where you are, what time you'll be there, why you were late. Own it when you make a mistake. Don't make excuses. If your excuse is, I just couldn't get out of the house and that's why I'm late. I kept doing one more thing. I loaded the dishwasher. I put something in the laundry. I have my one more thing problem that I have and it made me late and I got to stop that because it's really not good. I apologize. That's radical honesty and it's a whole lot less energy. So, I highly recommend you read Radical Honesty by Brad Blanton. It's a good book. It's on Amazon and it's on Audible. And just really start to look at how often do you lie by commission, omission, or assent? Actually tell a lie or leave something out or allow someone to believe something that's not true. And then look at the layers of truth. What are the facts of this situation? How do I feel about this situation? And what is the insight into my own soul? What is the vulnerability that would be my absolute truth for myself? And if I'm going to be completely honest, radically honest, I will risk saying all 3 of those levels when it's important. So our truth might stop at just the facts because it's not the situation where you're supposed to share your feelings in the middle of a work event or with somebody who's really acquaintance type person. Listen to my podcast on trusting levels and it talks about the depth and the level of different relationships. When you're in a committed, intimate relationship, when you have an intimate friend, when it's friends and family that you fully trust and you want to be fully honest with, this is where we practice radical honesty and all 3 levels of that, not just the facts, but how you feel and what's the vulnerability that shows you are comfortable enough with yourself to be wrong, to make a mistake, to not be perfect, to have growth to do, to recognize the truth about yourself and who you are. So radical honesty becomes, are we comfortable with exactly who we are? I want to thank you for tuning in today. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, where we just want to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.